Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is high quality stuff. Got the Knicks and the Pacers tonight. And if you'd like to hear it, you know you could hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Ray Rowe.
Pre-game show starts at 7, tip-off right around 7:30, live from Madison Square Garden. How great is that?
You kidding me?
How great is that?
Can't be greater.
I love it. We mentioned this at the start of the show, Mike Vaccaro in his column today. Since the Knicks franchise began, when they have home field, when they have home court advantage in the series, and they lose the first game of the series at home, they lose the series. They've never come back from losing the first game of the series when they have home court advantage. And they have that tonight. I've picked the Knicks in five, so it would seem like I think it's going to be just an easy, you know, walk in the park. I don't think that. Things can go wrong. Just like I said, things could go wrong with the Sixers, and I picked that one in six. Things could go wrong here. They have more height. They have a deeper bench.
Mm-hmm.
They can shoot the three like the Knicks, and they get up and down the floor, and they put a lot of points on the board. The key for the Knicks is going to be this. You've got to slow them down a little bit. Don't let them score 130, because the Knicks don't have a deep enough team, I believe, to score 130. So I think they're so good defensively, and they have such good defensive principles that I think they'll be able to slow Indiana down a bit. Now, that also means that the Knicks have to shoot at a pretty high percentage from the field, because if they do that, it's harder to run off a made basket. But if they miss shots, then they're going to just sprint out, and that's what they do. And they throw up a lot of threes as well. I think it's going to be a very interesting chess match of a series. The things that worry me, as I said, about the Pacers, they've got height and they've got depth. The Knicks don't have depth. They're going to have a 6 or 7 man rotation unless Tibbs has some sort of epiphany. And I don't think he is, because in a game that they had to win in Philadelphia, he played six people. So I think it's going to be a really fun series, and I think the Knicks will move on. And they will play the winner of the Celtics and the Cavs. And Vegas thinks it's definitely going to be the Celtics.
And this is a team that ranks second in offensive rebounds. That's how the Knicks got through Philadelphia. They always got those second and tertiary opportunities off the missed shots. And that's exactly what the Pacers can do. So you got to respect this team offensively. They're an outstanding offensive team. But they're not great defensively, and that's usually how it works. So it's very high scoring, which is contrary to what you usually see, especially as you get deeper into the playoffs. So the problem for the Knicks is going to be their depth. The problem for the Pacers is defense, and that's probably the stumbling block for these two teams winning a championship. But as far as winning this series, I'm always going to go with a team, especially this stage of the playoffs, that's the better defensive team. I don't see this Pacer team putting up 125, 130 points against this Knicks team, and that's what they did during the regular season to win most of their games, especially against the Knicks in the regular season.
Yeah, they took 2 out of 3. Mm. Now, the first game was December 30th, I believe, so the Knicks had already made the trade for OG. He had not shown up yet. So OG did not play in any of the three games, because the other two games, he was recovering from the elbow problem. So this is the first time that they're going to have to deal with OG Anunoby. I believe that Halliburton, the first person that Halliburton is going to take on, is DiVincenzo. And obviously they have a lot of options to put on Halliburton, but Halliburton's the key for them. And you know what? I thought DiVincenzo did an unbelievable job on Maxey. And they're going to use hard on him too. It's key to slow down Halliburton. But there are other players on this team. Turner can shoot. They've got, you know, a pretty stout front court. I think they can all score. They have a really good coach. This is no walkover. You don't get to be one of the final four teams in the Eastern Conference and be a bad team. So we'll see. I'm pumped up. Also hearing rumors, Don, Peter has a celebrity row seat for tonight. That's what I'm hearing.
You just made that up.
No, I'm hearing that.
No.
Well, were you hearing it from a bird?
And why didn't they tell me?
Oh, I thought you knew.
So I need to make plans then. What time's tip? 7:30?
7:30.
Yeah, this is going to be tough now.
Well, let's say you made plans tonight. Let's just play along with this nonsense. And Jim Dolan calls you right now and says, listen, I'd like you to sit next to me, first row. You wouldn't cancel those plans?
I have a work commitment. I don't know if I can make it. I said I could be there by 7:45.
No, not good enough. You have to be here at 7:30.
Well, he's got a work commitment.
I can't. I got a work commitment.
You ask him to be a bad guy?
Well, first of all, the work commitment would have to be a podcast of some sort.
Yep.
That's very, very movable.
Well, not you.
Yeah, not this. Me and Beetle Over the Top podcast is which, by the way, it's available wherever you find podcasts. It's fantastic.
Is it available the same place as your other podcasts?
Yeah, you can find it the same place you find Cheap Heat. But the difference is on this one, we culturally cover so many things. You'll get a lot of sports and a lot of NBA playoffs, but you also get the Drake and Kendrick. There'll be so much stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways,
will you talk Tom Brady roast?
I'm sure we will.
Uh-huh.
But my guess would be is that she's like Don. My guess is she has no use for Brady whatsoever, if I were to predict Beetle. But the thing is, we have like a team of people and it's a time that's scheduled and everybody has to be there at the same time. I can't just walk out on it.
What this is, Peter, is a completely disrespect to the podcast industry. Michael figures podcast. So don't do it. Who cares? That's what that is, Michael.
But by the way, he's right in a lot of cases.
But not yours.
No. I mean, if I said I had to record Cheap Heat tonight even, then I could say, well, Michael would say, well, you change it. And I'd say, well, that is a good point. I'm the boss. I'll do it later. It's okay. But we do Over the Top. It's for Wondery. They pay for people to produce it and be there. It's a whole operation.
It's a commitment.
It's a commitment, Don. It's a commitment.
Yeah, but I mean, the podcast industry to me is a little bit of the Wild West.
It is.
I love them to tears. Blanderson Hooper has a podcast.
Right, but...
Well, why are you saying something bad about Blanderson Hooper?
I'm not. I say I love him to death. Everybody has a podcast.
True.
But not all podcasts are equal.
But this isn't, I feel like, talking today, so I'm going to do a podcast. There's a schedule. There are people getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And they've scheduled today to be this podcast. There's a lot of responsibility. There's sponsors. So there are podcasts, and then there are commitments to podcasts. So this isn't just your willy-nilly, I feel like having a podcast. You're right. Everybody has a podcast, but not everybody has a podcast at the level that Peter has this one.
It's a bit different, sure.
Well, you know what? I'll call Jim and say you're not interested.
And that's Bunker Suite, too. Now, the Bunker Suite's great for viewing, but it's great for eating.
But this is all made up.
It's...
But this is all made up.
I know, but you got to suspend disbelief here for a second.
Well, I know. Now you're getting me upset.
It's the K-Show.
I know, but now I'm going, wait a second. A Bunker Suite? I really want to go.
Can I join?
Yeah, and I need to.
No, but Don, it's not the Bunker Suite. It's where Jim sits under the basket. Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, because I go by where Jim sits for... Hockey.
Right.
And it's center ice. It's a bunker suite.
Yeah. Now, speaking of hockey, Don, are the Rangers going to lose? They're 5-0 in the playoffs. Are they going to lose a game?
Of course they are. Sure.
How do you know?
Because nobody goes 16-0 and wins the Stanley Cup.
Moses Malone Sixers almost did.
Well, it's not going to happen here. Carolina's too good. I'm not saying the Rangers aren't winning the series, but you saw last night how difficult it's going to be to put this team away. You got a comfortable 3-1 lead after one, and you're 2-for-2 on the power play, and you're 2-for-2 on the penalty kill. And the next thing you know, there's 40 seconds to go. There's a face-off to the right of Igor Shesterkin, and they got a two-man advantage, Carolina, to try to tie the game. Now, they caught the break with the Svechnikov trip on Lindgren that not only even things out, Michael, to put the faceoff down in the Rangers' offensive zone, so they bought a ton of real estate, and with 35 seconds to go, the game was pretty much over at that point. But that's how this series is going to be. And then the winner of Boston, Florida, which would be next up for the Rangers, that's going to be a beast as well. So they're playing great. They're 5-0, but you definitely saw the level of play escalate from Washington to Carolina. So that was a good game to get. You needed to draw first blood. They did that. They're now, Michael, 22-8. In game ones at home in history. So they've been good here, but you know, they've got a lot of work to do. Tomorrow's going to be huge, Michael. Huge. Because if they even things out, now it becomes a best of five series with Carolina having home ice. So let's see if they can keep this going.
Now, I got to tell you the level of obsessiveness of my sister.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So yesterday was my great niece's second birthday. So they had a little something at my niece's house. So after the Yankee game got, you know, shortened because of rain, I headed there. And there, her and her husband, Peter, they're sitting there. She, every game, Don, she wears a legitimate Zibanejad jersey. She will not watch a game without it on.
Why? Okay.
And then he wears this Ranger sweatshirt that my nephew got for him, and they won't move from the chair. So she got up for a moment, and they scored the third goal, the Canes, and then Peter started yelling, "You got to sit back." They're lunatics.
Oh, they've really gone in.
They've gone over the top about the Rangers.
Good for them. Enjoy it.
And they keep saying, Debbie keeps saying, "Well, is it possible? Can you get me a ticket?" I said, "No, I can't. I can't get you a ticket.
Yeah,
it's impossible."
It's crazy what's happening now. Even back to 14, Michael. Remember the run in 14. There was all those viral videos and pictures of Rothenberg and Ryan Rucco in the suite. Remember that?
Yep.
Now forget it. It's we're barely into the second round. Just can't get in. It's crazy. I was talking to Larry Brooks when we were in Washington. He thought that the 2015 team that won the President's Trophy and went to the conference final, lost to Tampa, was a better team than this team. I disagree. I think this team is better. They're better offensively. Now, do they have as good a goaltender as Henrik Lundqvist? I guess time will tell, so I'm not going to go there. But they're deep on the blue line. I think they're exceptionally well coached. Peter Laviolette, it's so underrated. I'm shocked he's not a candidate for the Jack Adams Trophy, which I get a vote for. And I voted. He was one of my three candidates, but he's not a finalist for the Jack Adams. But they're just – I don't know whether it's the vibe with the Knicks or what's going on here, but it seems bigger. It really does. The Knicks, too. I mean, listen, the Knicks are never really this far, but we've seen them in the second round. I remember in 2013, Michael, we were on the air together, and it was a big deal. They won the 54 games, and they went up against the Pacers. This feels way different. This feels way bigger to me because I think that because of what the Knicks did last year getting to the second round and the Knicks going to the conference final a couple of years ago, I think people are really starting to believe that this might not just be a quote-unquote run. A run suggests it kind of comes out of nowhere and was unexpected. I think there's enough belief here with these two teams, maybe not to win a championship for the Knicks, but to definitely get to the next round and a championship for the Rangers where the fans really believe this isn't some sort of a run. This is kind of expected. And we're going to have a ball here this spring, really. And if both these teams get to the conference final, Michael, it is going to be unreal here in New York.
Let's go to Chris in Piscataway. Chris.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey,
what's
doing?
Up?
I wanted to talk a bit about the Rangers and to Don's point, Peter Laviolette. I don't think he gets enough credit. Just looking at the difference between him and Gallant from last year. Steve Alakant put it last week that they have an elite coaching staff. And not only that, bringing in Michael Pekka to help them with the faceoffs, mm-hmm. I think was a genius move as well. And, of course, Benoit Allaire is the goalie whisperer. So he's really got this team, the systems that they play, the aggressiveness they show on the PK, all of that. It's almost like Gallant was read and react, and Laviolette is more of a here's what we're going to do. This is the systems we're going to play, and you need to adhere to this. And I really think it's showing through in this playoff run here.
Well, it's a system. It's aggressive, which you got to love. And to a man, Michael, the feeling was
to a man
in the exit interviews after last year's loss to the Devils. The players said we want to be coached. So what that suggests is not that Gerard Gallant wasn't a good coach. I mean, he took the Vegas Golden Knights, an expansion team, to the Stanley Cup final. But it just seemed like read and react is the great way to put it. It just that we're going to just take it as a come. There is a system. There's a plan. Everybody knows what the plan is. They execute it to a T. He is just an outstanding coach. And a reason I guess he didn't get a lot of love is because, again, this Devil team was a playoff team. This Ranger team was a playoff team last year with 107 points, went to 114. So it didn't look like there was a gargantuan jump as far as the stats were concerned. But you just see it's just a different feel. And how he's got, what he's gotten out of Alexei Lafreniere, what he would have probably gotten out of Kako had he not gotten hurt. The younger players have all stepped up. And that, to me, is a great indication of a coach, is not just the team responding, but Gerard Gallant just didn't get enough out of the younger players. They were stagnant, and now they've come to life. It's no coincidence that these guys have all had career years under his tutelage. And just take a look at his resume. Look what he did with the Islanders. Look what he did in Carolina and Philadelphia and Nashville. Success in all those places, and so far success here.
Let's go to Bobby and Netcom.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Bobby.
Huge fan, obviously.
Thanks.
So I wanted to talk about Matt Rempe. Obviously, he's made a huge impact, but it seems like the guy can't get on the ice because he does not get the benefit of the calls. He just keeps getting penalties. The one yesterday, it was like there's nothing he could really do. He was crashing a crease, but he just got pushed in there. I just wanted to see what Don, how he feels they should proceed with him, especially with Hedl in the wings.
Well, I like I've been told a bunch of times, and I've said it here on this show, it's going to take something really negative to get Hedl back into the lineup, meaning an injury or you fall behind in the series and you're looking to make a change. But it does feel like, barring injury, the guy that Hedl would replace is Rempe. Now, not even for, because Rempe's Hedl's not a fourth-line player, but a forward's going to have to come out for Hedl to come in. The problem with Rempe, guys, and I thought it was a tough call, goaltender interference. The guy's gargantuan. He shouldn't be pushed into the crease the way he is. There's got to be a little bit more responsibility there. But you're talking about a player that's playing 7-8 minutes. He's not on the ice late in the game. At some point, he's taken penalties in 4 of the first 5 playoff games. At some point, you're going to want to try to get a little bit more out of that position. So I don't think he's going to make a change, guys, as long as they continue to win. But, you know, the next loss or the next little bit of adversity, I would not be surprised if there's a change. He was skating with the extras today. I think that was just because he didn't get a ton of ice time in the last couple of games, so I'm not going to read too much into that. But if Philip Hedl's going to come in, I would think it probably is going to come at the expense of Rempe, especially in this series where it's not like Carolina's got a bunch of tough guys you've got to worry about. So there is that possibility down the road.
Let me give you a quick pinstripe report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Yankees swept the Tigers over the weekend. The Tigers have really good pitching and a serviceable bullpen, but they can't hit. So I don't know if they're going to go out and try to make a move because their offense is... Javi Baez can't play anymore. It's so sad. This guy was... Even when he was at the Mets playing second base, he was a good player. But he can't hit anymore. Breaking ball away, he just waves at it. And then Spencer Torkelson had 31 home runs last year. He has zero this year. So if those two guys aren't going to hit, unless they make this big dynamic move. Now, Riley Green, former first-round draft pick, has really played well. He has a top WAR in the American League. But Yankees took care of business. They got great pitching. Again, Nestor Cortez was amazing. Their bullpen has been absolutely amazing. But when you're going to talk about the Yankees right now, I'm sorry. I mean, I saw almost every single one of Judge's 62 home runs in his MVP season, and he is a very special player. Juan Soto is a different cat, man. It's a different sort of player. Juan Soto is just excelling on the stage. His impending free agency doesn't seem like it bothers him. And really, why should it? If you think about it, once he turned down $440 million from the Nationals, every year was like the pressure to get to the finish line. He has embraced this. He's embraced the crowd. He came up in the bottom of the 7th inning yesterday, bases loaded, against a tough left-hander and Andrew Chafin. And he just puts great bats together. And he hit a double into the corner, scored 3 runs. His batting average with runners in scoring position is exorbitantly high. And his batting average with runners in scoring position against lefties is also incredibly high. This guy is second in the American League to Sal Perez in terms of RBIs. He does everything great. And, you know, sometimes you see him styling out of the box, right? Well, in 25 at-bats with runners in scoring position, he's hitting .440 with 22 runs batted in and an OPS of 1.380. So, you know, he plays hard. Every ground ball, he runs down to first base like his hair is on fire. So he's not one of those guys who lopes to first base. He does look at home runs, and he almost got burned in Baltimore when the ball banged off the wall. He got a triple. But boy, is he good. Don, I don't know how much you get a chance to watch him.
Oh, yeah.
He is something special,
man. No, he's terrific. And this is going to sound crazy because it's the New York Yankees. He might price himself out of here. What if he has just an absolute monster year? Could you see teams or a team going north of 50 a year?
Oh, the Mets will.
And,
because the Mets, I mean, they might not have a good year this year. So that puts more pressure to get him.
And I just, and if these numbers, and because then he's gonna check a lot of boxes, right? Like he can handle New York and all that. And again, I think he probably wants to be a Yankee, but he's got Boris as his agent, so he's going to want to get top dollar.
Don, I got to tell you something. I believe that wherever he signs, going to get over 50 a year.
And I just wonder, would the Yankees go there with Judge's contract still, Stanton left on his contract, Cole, how much he's making a year? And again, those are all bargains the way those guys can play. You know, not Stanton, but clearly Cole and Judge, but at some point, you know, you're going to, we've seen it. The Yankees have a budget. They have a limit. And will they go there? Now, you could say, well, they made the trade. They had to know there was the possibility it could explode. So they must think there's at least a chance that they could re-sign him. But if he has the kind of year I'm thinking he's going to have, Michael, it might actually go to a stratosphere the Yankees aren't willing to go.
It's going to be a fascinating offseason. It really will be. I look at social media after the game. Give him a blank check. I mean, stop being a jerk. A blank check. So what if the Yankees and Steve Cohen give him a blank check? How high does it go? $100 million a year? Nobody gets blank checks. Nobody. Nobody gets blank checks.
I know you hate the phrase good problem, but the funny thing is, it is a good problem you're hoping for.
That he has a great year?
That the year is so great that he costs, you worry you have to pay him $60 million.
It is a good problem. But if what Don says is true, and the Yankees have always been, you know, they spend a lot of money, but they also do draw lines in the sand. Like if Cohen goes to $60 million a year, would the Steinbrenner family be willing to do that? I don't know.
I've always said the worst case scenario for Yankee fans, if the Mets have a really disappointing year, and they're going to want to make up for it to their fans, that what's happened would then be two straight years of disappointments, that Cohen just decides to write the check and says, be damned, I'll give him $60 million a year, I don't care. And if that happens, the Yankees are not going to go that high. Look what they did with Judge. And this is a guy that you benefited from for years. You made the Judge's chambers. They still negotiated. They didn't give a blank check. So you think after 1 year they're going to give Soto a blank check?
Yeah, that's a
blank check.
That's where Cohen could make a huge difference.
And by the way,
laying in the weeds there, playing responsible, not going crazy, and then all of a sudden,
and then blow it in the right spot. Now, here's the thing, though, Michael. Like, is Judge cool enough and understanding enough that like he would be able to handle Soto getting more?
I believe he is.
Like, it would be worth it to him.
Well, I mean, moving forward, Peter, this is the second year of his contract.
So he knows he's never going to be the top one again.
So he's got seven more years. The way the game is trending, people are going to make more than $40 million a year. He's got to accept that. So
he might as well accept it with Soto.
Well, then you want a 25-year-old Juan Soto along the ride with you.
Right. It's going to be someone. Might as well be him.
Well, that's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. Peter, tell us about Bathfitter.
Oh, Michael, I'm so glad that you asked me about Bathfitter, because they did my bath. They did an incredible job, by the way. I'm pretty sure you know that. They customized it for my needs, gave me exactly what I was looking for, and guess what? Did an incredible job. And I don't know if you know this about Bathfitter, they get it all done in a day or two. It's that easy when it comes to Bathfitter. It's a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers just like me. So for a limited time, get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bathfitter system. Start designing your Bathfitter like I did at BathfitterDesign.com. There's only one Bathfitter.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time for a quick Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers. Tomorrow, the Yankees start a three-game set against the Astros. It'll be Verlander against Luis Gil. The Astros are in trouble of not making the playoffs. If you look at the bad start that they've had, it's kind of unbelievable. Another free agent-to-be, Alex Bregman, is having a really bad season. And he's a really good player. But so far, not good. And they've had so many injuries to their pitchers. Stephen Kwan, who's been a big part of the Guardians' great start, is missing 4 weeks now with a hamstring injury. And the Mets start a series against the Cardinals. Cardinals are bad. So maybe the Mets could get right. That's a series in St. Louis. Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. All right, we got the Knicks and the Pacers tonight, game one. Let's go back to the phones. Mikey Locks in New Jersey. Mikey.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
How you fellas doing?
Good.
Today I got a lock of the day. It's a big one.
All right, here we go.
I'm putting over 15.5 points on DiVincenzo. Let's get it in. Lock it in.
That's why you have that last name of Mikey Locke. So why do you think DiVincenzo is going to go off?
Well, he's shooting the ball very well last game, and I feel like it's going to bleed into tonight. Big thing is to actually get him some set plays and some wheel plays tonight. And I expect that fully from them. I think everybody that thinks that the Pacers are going to be some slouches in this series are gravely mistaken. We have to take these guys serious.
Oh, they will. The fans might, but I think the Knicks will.
No, yeah, I wouldn't worry about that part either. But I think you're right. If you're speaking for fans, you're right. You guys should not go into this series, given the history of this team and how long it's been since you went to a conference final. The idea of taking this series for granted is nutso. This is a team that was very good during this regular season. No reason to think they won't be competitive. But I don't think there's a chance the Knicks are taking them lightly.
Now, Brunson has said if you need extra motivation, then you're in the wrong business. But I wonder, playing Carlisle, who didn't give him any light at all with the Mavericks. I mean, the last playoff series that Carlisle coached for the Mavericks, and Brunson was on the team, he paid him 10 minutes in an elimination game. Do you think that motivates him inward? Well, he's not going to admit it. He doesn't need bulletin board fodder. But do you think he wants to just destroy Carlisle's team?
Of course he will. I think both could be true, that you're not going to use it as motivation, but you're still going to relish the opportunity to do it to him. That was the whole Greg Buddle thing. If you need bulletin board fodder, you're not prepared, something's wrong with you. I think that's probably the tact he's taking, but you're not going to take pride in sticking it to him?
I would think so.
That's just human nature.
Let's go to Dennis in Huntington. Dennis.
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about, before I get to Peter being the biggest fraud in New York radio,
no.
I wanted to talk about the Yankee.
I kind of don't care about your first
lineups.
Okay.
No one cares about them.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so why is Boone, what is going on with this lineup? I know they just swept the Tigers, but if you look at how they played the Orioles, it was pretty bad offense. I think they should put Soto first and then Judge and then Verdugo and then either Stanton or...
why would you want Soto in 25% of his at-bats? You're guaranteeing that he comes up with nobody on base.
First, why not put I think just Soto and Judge have to be flip-flopped. I know the whole lefty-righty thing, but Boone's really into that. But I think Judge should be hitting in front of Soto.
Well, I thought that way, too. Because I think Judge would see better pitches, but so far it's worked out fine. They're 10 games over 500, and, you know, Volpe has not been
hitting. They're not beating Orioles.
Excuse me?
They can't beat the Orioles, and now they're not looking good. It looks like the Orioles.
What do you mean they can't beat them? What does that mean? They beat them once out of four times. They've got nine games remaining. What do you mean they can't beat them? Each game was close.
They just don't look good against them. Their pitching is too good.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's a little secret, Dennis. The Orioles are damn good. It's not like you lost to a bad team like, I don't know, the Marlins. The Orioles are great. They're going to be trouble.
They're going to be great. They're going to be great for a few years now.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So my second point was, Peter, you seem like a fraud a bit.
Go ahead.
You said you didn't like Dana White's comments, but... And you said you don't like to show your hand, your political hand, and I don't follow you on social media or anything, so I'm assuming you're an independent, but every Thank time you. Someone says something Thank slightly you. Against anything, you know, Democrat, you go berserk.
Well, I don't think you
and then you got your butt buddy, Don, that just backs you up on every little thing that you say about it.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Let me respond, Don, before you see you almost said Don over the edge there.
Yeah.
Real quick. I said Dana White was bad last night because he was objectively bad. Like, his delivery was bad.
He only had 60 seconds.
No, I understand. I mean, and I get he's not a comedian, but you didn't think it was a very good 60 seconds. He just wasn't very good. It felt uncomfortable. And the reason I thought he was bad was he decided to use that moment to kind of poke and prod and complain about wokeness on a night when all rules and conventions of, quote, wokeness were out the window. Everybody was already saying anything they wanted to say. Why did he feel the need to make it a thing? He made sort of bad jokes and then blamed the crowd for not laughing when the crowd had been laughing at objectively offensive things all night long. I thought it was weak. I just thought it was weak.
I guess everything that anyone says that's anti-Democrat is weak to you.
But he didn't
call him with an agenda. It wasn't anti-Democrat.
He didn't make any Republican talking points.
He what?
He did say something explicit of liberals.
Yeah, but it was still it wasn't really a political statement as much as it was an anti-wokeness statement. Oh, you sensitive liberals. My point is, can't you understand my point that was a little bit weak on a night when everybody was being free-flowing about the jokes they were making? It was just an unnecessary, not particularly funny thing to say. And it mixed in a delivery that wasn't very good. That's all. It wasn't too deep. Now, why you call Don such names, I don't know. But anyways, thanks for the
call. I just said he was your butt buddy. I mean, calling him names.
But what is that based on, though?
You know what that means?
He agrees with everything you say. And even when it comes to the Would You Wednesdays, you guys are butt buddies about everything. It's getting kind of
actually, you called it out. You're right. I've been trying to hide it for a long time. I'd like to make an announcement if I can get the camera.
Please,
figured it out. I've been trying to hide it for a long time, Peter.
Go ahead.
But clearly, the intelligence of that caller was able to root out the truth.
Which is?
I'm physically attracted to you, Peter, and I love you.
Wow.
And I deeply want you. Can we make that happen? I'm ready to leave my wife and my family for you, Peter.
Really?
Are you willing to do the same? Yeah, because you could see, because he picked it up, you know, because... Only somebody with that kind of intelligence could.
Yeah, he was sharp.
And he was able to scoop it up and realize that because, you know, we're butt buddies, and so he figured it out. I want your butt. I think a great man once said, "Yummy." Give me a. Oh, I like to take a bite out of that, Peter. So he figured it out.
Oh boy.
And now you've confirmed it.
And now
on
I've
the
confirmed
air.
It. It's well, out there. So if Awful Announcing wants to run with it, if you want to have some sort of a.
There you go.
If Jake, if you can get on that and put it on social media, that Don LaGreca is a yummy butt buddy for Peter.
Boy, would I like. Don, you just reminded me of the wedding scene in Tommy Boy when they're filming, everyone talking. He goes, "Boy, would I like to get me some of that."
Yay!
Hey, give me that camera.
That's a great scene. Well, I got to tell you, it's like a weight has been lifted.
How do you feel?
It's a secret I've kept deep free, in my heart for 9 years.
Yeah, you feel free. I feel left out. You feel free.
Well, no, I was going to say, Michael, if it wasn't for Peter, my attractiveness shifted.
Yeah, but for 13 years, you never showed any kind of inclination toward me.
Because I was weak, Michael. I was scared.
And now here you are.
I was fighting it. You know what I was doing? I was fighting it. Not anymore. I'm free.
I'm going to have to think over these things and get back to you, Don.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people involved, Peter.
Listen, 3 o'clock every day. I'm not going anywhere.
No, you'll be here. All right.
I mean, you got to consider Nancy and Natalie and the dogs and the cats and the kids.
We don't take these things lightly. But, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants.
The heart wants.
Or in this case, the butt wants what the butt wants.
Wow. Matt, Long Island City. Matty.
Well, I got to follow that guy. I mean,
that's tough. I know.
He was the room temp IQ, as I'd like to say. I got to get back to it. Oh, Don, you brought up anybody who was telling you before that throwing out the minor league game makes you a fraud. It is either a troll or just dumb. But it made me think of a potential fraud situation I'm facing, so I wanted to confront it by you guys. That's okay.
Okay.
There's a non-zero chance because of connections through work that I could throw out the first pitch at a Mets game, but I'm a lifelong Yankee fan. I'll give my opinion and then maybe we'll hang up and let you guys, but I would definitely do it. First of all, I don't really see the Mets as a rival to the Yankees. I'm kind of indifferent to them. If it was like the Red Sox, the Astros, I definitely wouldn't do it, but for the Mets, I mean, why not? You're throwing out the first pitch in a major league game. The other thing is like, I just don't see myself as like Dave, you always talk about, he thinks the Giants are going to show up at his funeral. I'm not one of these Yankees fans who thinks, like, Cal is going to show up at my funeral.
Right.
You know, they're not giving me anything. I'm showing my loyalty through the chicken buckets and the tall boys I occasionally get. So if I get the chance to throw a first pitch at Mets game, I'm going to take it. But let me know what you guys think.
I don't call you a fraud for that. Because I'll say that. You remember my story, Michael, when I saw C.J. Nikowski out in left field, and I ran onto the field not realizing the rules because I'm a moron. Because there's something about being on a major league field. You know how rare an opportunity that is? To be able to do that, to be able to throw out the first pitch, what an honor that is. I mean, you're going to let your fandom get in the way of doing something that cool? Never mind the Patriots. Being able to do it for a Yankee Stadium in front of potentially 50,000 people, why would you pass up on that opportunity?
Well, Matt's saying it would be at Citi Field.
I'm just saying from my perspective. Oh. If I'm a Met fan, but no, if he's a Yankee fan, go to Citi Field. He doesn't consider the Mets a rival. I mean, you're not. Does that mean you're rooting for him? You're committed to him? That's almost like saying you wouldn't go to a Met game. Like, would you not go if the Mets were playing the Cardinals and you got a chance to go to the game because you love baseball? Does that make you a fraud to go?
Oh, it's a good question.
Does that mean that you're rooting for the team if you go out there and throw the first pitch?
Yeah, by the way, you're not co-signing on the team just because you throw a first pitch.
People throw first pitches all the time.
Matt, my big question is, how great are the chicken buckets?
Oh, the chicken buckets are awesome. I mean, I've eaten so many. I have every bucket that I've eaten. I've stacked in a closet in my apartment. So
now, how many fingers are in the bucket?
I think it's 8 chicken fingers and then like a pound of French fries.
And how much does that go for?
I think it's like 25 last time I checked, which is actually not bad relative to other state food. I think it's literally called the value bucket,
right,
which is why you're getting the most bang for your buck.
Well, I see what they did there.
For 10 bucks, you get a defibrillator.
Is that
Well, Matt, I think you should use your connections and throw out the first pitch.
I heard there's actually a package, Don, where it will come with an Ozempic needle. It's
How
rare.
About Nikki Glaser's line on Jeff Ross? You put the ick in Ozempic.
Oh. She really was.
She owned it. Her and I think Bill Belichick.
She was so good, man.
Yeah, she really was. She was on Stern today. She read some of the jokes she left out. They're pretty good too.
I have to imagine. I'm a big fan.
How could you?
Hey, I talk for a living.
You
just
do,
like Nikki. And whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. Nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea, Bigelow Earl Grey. This delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil, not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. Keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow Tea number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Point God. You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
It is almost as if there are a certain amount of people that really want to actually remove all fun from sports and just make it a math class. And if you love math, good on you. Or what they're trying to do is, I'm so much smarter than everybody else, I'm going to tell you while your eyes are betraying you, I'm going to go so deep inside the numbers that you watch the first round of the playoffs and you can come up with 14 players that were better than Jalen Brunson. You know what? I don't want to be involved in sports anymore if you look at it in that way. It's almost like fine art. Right? Somebody vomits on a canvas. Like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like that before. No, the guy threw up on a canvas. Oh, you just don't know because you don't appreciate art. It's like, when you think you're smarter than me, then go enjoy sports. I hated math in school. And if math is now going to become what sports is about, I'm out. I'll become a DJ someplace. Spin records.
Early lead for Donnie. Won last week, too. So a win Darn on it. Monday is like the Knicks winning today. It goes such a long way to winning the series. Really does.
But it's only Monday, and it's only game one. By the sheer math of it, as I turn it back to math, it is the most meaningless of the seven potential ones, right? I mean, nothing's not meaningless, but you know what I'm talking about, is that each one elevates the importance. Now, they don't want to lose home court, but, you know, clearly you can overcome one loss.
Not the first one, according to the Knicks' history. Let's go to Danny.
Yeah, that is crazy.
In Long Island. Daniel.
Quite a show for the Greckadef right out of the box. I think we should do an impromptu Mary Cuddle trash with vomit on a canvas.
Okay.
Scratch it till it bleeds.
Oh, boy.
Stick your head in the fire.
Right.
Really solid trifecta there. Speaking of trifecta, Danny from Mystic would be a better idea at 17-1. My first phone call went to my mother, thanking me for making me $890 on the Kentucky Derby. How about that?
Apparently, Gordon nailed it on Saturday too.
You must have been sweating that.
Father used to love going to the track, so I bet the Derby just had a sense of Americana. Obviously, since the horse is named Mystic Dan, I have to bet my horse's name. 17-1 wins by a nose, depending on how big your nose is. As I think that was the Odd Couple.
Good for you. A nice pull.
Had a very nice dinner tonight with the missus. She was very happy. I gave her half the money. I said, "Here you go, baby. Half is yours." But listen, I like to wrap up on a happy note. I love minor league stadiums, Don. Whenever I take my kids on vacation, I've been to about 15 of them. Watched a great game of baseball in South Carolina last week. My two grandkids live down there. It was Thursday night, Knicks game 6, NFL draft. My son buys tickets to it. Single A minor league game. Do I pull a Rothenberg and start demanding that televisions are being wheeled into the bleachers? No. I go out there with my grandkids, first inning. Guess who catches a fly ball?
Wow. Grandpa.
I knocked the travel baseball team out of the way, left-handed catch. Everyone goes crazy, and hand it to my grandson. He says, jumping up and down, 3 years old. He fires it back on the field.
No!
They have to call timeout. They have to run out, give it to me again.
So I
did the right thing by shutting my mouth and going to it. Great game. I paid $4 for a beer, $8 a ticket. Columbia Flyer flies. There's nothing better than minor league baseball. I'm sorry, and I love baseball. It's a great view.
Well, congratulations on the catch, and you really got to teach the grandson not to do that. Let's go to Andrew in Queens.
Bad job.
Andy.
Hey, how are we doing?
What's going on?
I'm glad that the in the wild got brought up, because I remember the time, and I've a time for you, Michael, and actually I on the hold, I thought of one for Don as well, too, quickly. I'll do Don's quickly. Don, I'm in Las Vegas. I'm 23 years old. We're staying at the Hard Rock Hotel off the Strip. All my friends go to bed. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm still wired. I go down to the tables. I'm playing some blackjack. That's me, the dealer, and another guy sitting at a table. All of a sudden, a big pack of maybe about 6 or 7 guys walking around. This one guy sits down. He's wearing a cowboy hat. I turn my head to the right, and who's sitting 2 seats over but Lemmy from Motorhead.
Oh, wow, that's very cool.
Everything in me to not be like, hope an ace of spade pops up or something like that. But he sat down for about 10 minutes, walked away, and I told all my friends the next morning, and none of them, they said, that's all BS, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so that's for you, Don. Michael, for you, this one actually involves you. I was at Citi Field with my girlfriend seeing the Zac Brown Band back in 2015, and we're standing in the pit area right by the stage, and as the lights go down, all of a sudden, some security guards walk, around us towards the left of the stage, and all of a sudden, I see Paul O'Neill, and I go, holy crap, that's Paul O'Neill, and who's standing right next to Paul O'Neill is Mr. Michael K himself, and
wow.
It's one of those things where, I knew who you were, knew Paul was there too, didn't want to say anything and just let you guys enjoy the show, but figured I had to at least mention that you have been spotted in the wild.
If you ever spot me in the wild again, Andrew, please come over and say hello. But
do you remember that day?
I remember that concert. Yeah, I remember that. I remember I got tickets to that concert, and I was standing there, and Jeff Wilpon looked at me like I was an alien. How did you get down here? I got tickets. That's how I got down here. I don't think Jeff was the biggest fan of me.
That's all right. Right back at him. Right, Michael?
No, I didn't mind Jeff.
Even after that?
Listen, I don't hate people.
It's just not who you are.
Said your laminated list.
Well, I just don't forget.
To hate people.
He'll never forget the hatred that he has.
There's no bigger ENN.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Than after a Brady roast, a Kendrick Drake diss track war, and Don winning, point guard.
And admitting on the air that I'm in love with him. I want your butt.
I have not been able to confirm this, but there was a phrase you kept using in that was dumped continuously on yes.
On yes. Okay.
That's what I heard.
Really? I apologize to the viewers because they missed a lot. What was it? I don't think I was out of line, Peter. Look who I'm asking.
I think the true
definition of BB, which is what you kept saying, it is kind of out of line.
Well, but the caller said it how many times? I can't say it?
I don't think anybody wanted to say it.
And the funny thing,
careful.
He says that he calls me that, and then he's on hold for like, and he's on the air for like 5 minutes.
Well, because Peter was talking with him.
If he didn't answer hello in 5 seconds, he gets cut off. He throws the BB out there 15 times. He's on hold. He talks for 15 minutes.
See, that's not fair, because I thought that Peter would get angry because he was having a conversation with him.
Yeah, I did want to let it go on so I could see how stupid he was. And by the way, it played out right.
Yeah, it played out very well.
It worked out well.
Well, listen, I apologize to anybody that was offended.
They didn't hear it. Don't even worry about it.
Our radio audience heard it, no?
Yeah, I did hear it. My friend Kyrie, who used to work with us at the station, actually wrote and said his child asked him, what is a BB?
Yeah.
See, this is what you do, Don.
But no, blame the caller. He brought it up.
All right, Dennis, it's on you.
Yeah, live with that, Dennis. Yeah.
That and the filth, because you don't know how to bathe.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.